Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, the Great Awakening of America and the Gospel of Trump. There is a man by the name of Donald, the voice on the recording says. God says, you have been determined through your prayers to influence this nation. I will open that door that you prayed about, and when it comes time for the election, you will be elected. Where are you? Why, you're in the twilight zone of the Great Awakening of 2022 with Donald Trump as the chosen one of God. Well, you're also on day 966 of 15 days to flatten the curve, so you better buckle up. Psalm 84, verse 9. Behold our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we are watching politics, religion, the Bible, false prophets, and wacky QAnon conspiracy theories all merging together in support of the re-election of Donald Trump, who has been raised to a Joseph Smith-like level of homegrown prophet. Trump has now become something I don't think he ever set out to be, the anointed one of God who is raising up America in the end times. Let me just pause for a moment and assure you that none of this is biblical unless you want to view it as a picture of the spiritual deadness and the biblical illiteracy of the American people in the last days. Have you forgotten that Donald Trump's trusted group of spiritual advisors include heretic Paula White and the 100% false prophet Kenneth Copeland? I may be wrong about this, but I don't seem to recall one single Bible believer anywhere in the Donald Trump camp. You are watching revival without repentance, preaching without sound doctrine, and a call to arms without a confession of sin. Charles Spurgeon said it the best many years ago when he observed that a time will come where instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. And here we are. All this and more on this special presentation of the Prophecy News Podcast on the eve of the most rancorous midterms that anyone can remember. Oh boy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you've gathered here today. Lord, we're just glad, we're grateful. And Lord, we just open up to you and ask you to meet with us now. And we're not trying to mix politics and the Bible. We're just trying to get the Bible and get it right. And politics can be whatever politics is going to be. Lord, today we pray for Annetta, who had a stroke and she's partially paralyzed on her left-hand side. And she's asking prayer for the ability to walk again. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease, and he needs our prayer. Amanda Mathias, very sick, and we're praying for her as well. We have a couple of marriages that we're praying for. Stephanie and Andy, Angela and Jeff, and Bianca and Derek. Eminem is asking prayers for Tim Kelly, who was involved in a car accident and has traumatic brain injury. Karen is praying for her sister's neighbors who were also in a major car accident. Karen Robinson is praying for her dad who had a stroke a couple of weeks ago with no feeling on the right side of his body. Dale Parks, we're praying for him to have a healing from bladder cancer. Jeanette's mom needs prayer for strength and for healing. Also, Jeanette found out some devastating news. And she asks us to pray for that while she works through that. Elena Blackburn is expecting and is asking for prayer that she'll be able to conceive a healthy baby. And Rebecca Lynn is asking prayers for a very important unspoken. She says that the Lord knows the need. If I'm not mistaken, Natalie's husband is having surgery this morning. I could be wrong about that, but I think I'm right. Trisha says, would you all pray for me? I'm getting steroid shots in my hips tomorrow. I'm praying that they last for a full 4 months. Amen. Rapture Ready, Marie Comfort, she said, praise report, I feel so good. I want to thank everybody for their prayers. Amen. And yes, Natalie's husband, Ken, is having his surgery today. And we're going to pray that all goes well. Blaine, please continue to pray that government-assisted housing opens up for me. And we'll be happy to do that for you, brother. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come together before you, God, and we ask you to meet with us now. And Lord, there's people that need to be healed, and only you can do it. Doctors can't do it. There's no doctor on the face of the earth that's going to get the left side of Annetta's body working again, but you can, Lord. You absolutely can, and we believe. And Lord, for all these prayer requests for health and surgeries and illnesses and diseases and sicknesses, we ask you to work and move, God, as only you can, for people who need housing and finances and economics and jobs and relationships that need to be restored. Father God, we ask you to get in the middle of that thing and just do something, Lord, just do something. And Father God, we'll give you all the honor and all the glory for it. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Very glad that you're here. Nice to see the chat room filling up. We had a really good time in the Word yesterday with the Sunday service that's now at its new time of 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And everybody seems to be very happy about that. And I think that's going to work well with everybody's schedule. And the Bible study last night, part two in a series about different religions and groups and organizations that claim to be Christian, and we're comparing their claims to the King James Bible. And I think we're going to continue that series at least for a couple of more weeks. I think it's edifying, and I think it's instructive that you never have to worry. Some group comes along, some people come along, and they claim to have special revelation. You don't ever have to worry about that, because you have the greatest revelation of all time, which is the King James Bible. The Bible says where the word of a king is, there is power. And God has preserved his word supernaturally within the pages of the King James Bible. So if you have that, you are on a solid foundation of God's word. You know, the Bible says about God's word that he has placed his word. I want you to think about this now. God has placed the Bible above even his name. Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. What do you think about that? God's preserved word is, in God's estimation, is above even the name of Jehovah. It is above even the name of Jesus Christ. In John 17, we read this. John 17, verses 16 and 17. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I'll give you one more, John chapter 14. And there's a reason why I'm establishing this biblical foundation for the Bible. Because we live in a day and age where people are not taught the Bible. They are taught stuff and emotions and feelings. And going to church is really like going to a PowerPoint seminar. The Apostle Paul warned about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But here in John chapter 14, Jesus says this in verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, Revelation 21, New Jerusalem, I will come again and receive you unto myself. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, Song of Solomon 2, Titus 2, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Drum roll, please. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, Jesus makes a lot of claims for himself. He calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. And he uses the definitive article to tell you these things, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So, on today's program, we're talking about something that has the potential to be massively misunderstood. We're talking about America in the last days. Now, I'll just say right off the bat that America does not appear in Bible prophecy in your King James Bible. True, there are some passages, obscure passages, that if you kind of squint your eyes and strain real hard, you might be able to work up a little bit of a feeling about that might be a veiled reference to America. But there's no real passages in the King James Bible that refer to the United States of America. But there are plenty of passages that refer to the nation of Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Turkey, most of Europe, Rome, Israel, Africa, Egypt, Jordan, and all these different places. But America does not get mentioned in the Bible. So we live in a day and age where politics and religion are being melded together. And it's forming this very unusual hybrid, which the liberal media refers to as Christian nationalism. And I don't know about you, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I am not a Christian nationalist. I do not mix my sentiments for America with what I believe to be true about the Bible, about Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit, and anything else. And I'm here today to encourage you to do the same thing. Do not conflate your feelings for America with what you know to be true about the Bible. Because when you conflate those two things that don't belong together, that don't mix together, even though the evangelicals, they insist on mixing those things together, but those things don't go together. And there's a reason why those things don't go together. Now, turn to the book of Hebrews. Turn to the book of Hebrews for just a moment. And turn to chapter 11. Chapter 11. And let's look at verses 13 through 16. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The Bible says that we are to be strangers and pilgrims on this earth. That's what we are supposed to be. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 11. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, the Gentiles, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul. And when you look at what's going on with what I'm going to show you today, there is an absolute war going on for your soul, and they want you to mix your feelings about the Bible, your knowledge about Jesus Christ, and they want to conflate that with patriotism for America. Now, I am the son of a World War II veteran. I am the brother of a U.S. Marine. All my street preachers were military men. And I have a great respect for the military. And I have a great love for this country. But I'm not going to start mixing the Bible and America together. Because once you do that, you're going to get on really strange ground really, really fast. So take a listen to just a couple of minutes of this. There's been a group going around for the last year and a half called the Reawaken America Tour. And it's Michael Flynn, Roger Stone, Eric Trump. And they have been traveling around to about 17 different cities. And they've been putting on what can only be called revival meetings. And they are preaching the gospel of Donald Trump as the only person that can save America. Now, I don't know about you, but I see a lot of problems with that type of theology. But take a listen to Michael Flynn from Government Insider to Holy Warrior.
General Michael Flynn, ladies and gentlemen.
Michael Flynn's political influence has only grown since the January 6th insurrection.
Tomorrow, we the people are going to be here, and we want you to know that we will not stand for a lie.
General Flynn, do you believe in the peaceful transition of power in the United States of America?
That's it.
One more time, General Flynn.
After failed efforts to overthrow the 2020 election results, the retired three-star general and former national security advisor has been focused on this year's elections.
Because I am so sick and tired of these Republicans that are out there that do nothing.
The Associated Press and Frontline sat down with Flynn in a rare on-camera interview with what he considers the mainstream media.
I don't even know why I'm talking to you, honestly. And I hope this is recording. Is it recording?
You've been doing a speaking tour, you're endorsing candidates, you're very busy. What are you fighting for?
I am fighting for our constitutional rights. And, you know, in a big way, to save America, I guess.
We need to take this country back one town at a time.
Flynn says the left and Democrats want to destroy the country.
They're godless, they're soulless.
His solution for saving America begins with local action.
Yeah, I do use this phrase, local action, national impact. Local action, national impact. If we do that across the country, that's the way we're going to take this country back.
It also includes promoting baseless conspiracy theories and stoking division and grievance.
We're going to continue to go around this country and talk about election fraud. We're going to talk about COVID, this health tyranny that we're facing.
I consider Michael Flynn one of the most dangerous individuals in America today because he is spearheading the attack on our democracy, which is coming from many quarters. And he is affiliated with many of these sectors, from the military to Christian nationalism to election denial.
Flynn has endorsed around 100 candidates for federal, state, and even local offices, raised millions, and helped launch the Reawaken America tour that mixes politics and religion.
I mean, there is a spiritual war and there is a political war, and they are going on. They're going on in this country right now.
Why are you now a politician?
I'm not. I could care less about politics. I care about this country.
Since the November Virginia election across the country, we have overturned 200 school boards in this country. 200.
You don't think what you're doing right now is engaging in politics?
Or no, I think every single person in this country, every American citizen, now has to pay attention to politics. My faith and my health. I don't want the government messing around with those two things.
So Flynn is getting in front of audiences, and he's using Christian nationalist rhetoric to rally people who want to be fed that because they want to be excited, mobilized.
They're going to shut our churches down, and they're going to tell you, you're going to get mandated to do this, you're going to get mandated to do that.
Christian nationalism threatens democracy because it is fundamentally anti-democratic by nature. It doesn't prioritize the incorporation or the participation of all Americans.
They say you're a Christian nationalist. Are you?
What is that? I'm an Irish Catholic.
I think we should skip that question. He's an Irish Catholic general.
I'm a follower of Jesus. How's that?
33 years okay. In the military.
So the first thing that you have to understand about this group that is trying to merge the Bible and America and politics and Jesus Christ and merge all these things together, it's made up of charismatics and Pentecostals and Roman Catholics and people of the New Apostolic Reformation. And there's almost, I don't know of any Bible believers in this group of people. I don't know any of these people that stand on the King James Bible. So this group that is pushing all this, they are using lies and deceit and trickery and false prophecies. Take a listen to Paula White. And she's preaching the gospel of Trump. This is about 2 years ago. If you remember, Donald Trump, he had a spiritual advisory team made up of people like Paula White and Kenneth Copeland and a bunch of other lukewarm evangelicals and crazy charismatics. Not a single Bible believer on the entire group. But take a listen. This is just, it's mercifully short. It's only 43 seconds of Paula White. But she'll give you a really good idea of what these people are all about.
Some of you are so stuck on structure, you wouldn't know if the Holy Spirit hit you upside the head right now. But the Holy Spirit is moving mightily, and you better get up right now, for the fire of God is falling in this house. And God says, I've already given you dominion. I've already given you power. I've already given you jurisdiction. Go, for the nations are yours, saith the Lord. And it's not only with President Trump. He's given us Australia now. He's going to give us many other nations. Come on, there are nations. There's an end time harvest coming right now, and you have been called as a reaper. You have dominion, and while you're waiting on the Lord's been waiting on you this whole time, because it's illegal for God to do anything in the earth unless he partners with somebody.
Did you hear that last thing that she said? She said it is illegal, and I'm quoting her. You just heard her say it. It is illegal for God to do anything in the earth without partnering with somebody. You know what the Bible says? Paula White says that it is illegal for God to do anything in the earth without partnering with somebody. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God takes the counsel of his own will. What does that mean? That he confers with himself when he wants to make a decision about something. He doesn't check with anybody else. He doesn't need to partner with anybody else. He simply consults with himself, and he decides what he wants to do according to his own will. Ephesians 1:11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ." So Paula White tells you that it is illegal for God to do anything in the earth without partnering with a human being. Well, do you remember the charismatic and evangelical freak out when they prophesied that Donald Trump would be reelected for a second term and it didn't happen? Just listen to a couple minutes of this.
I hear the sound of victory. I hear the sound of victory.
The media said what?
Expose it all! Expose it all, Lord!
The media said Joe Biden's president. Ha 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 ha.
Let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God.
Ha 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 ha.
And strike and strike and strike and strike.
Ha 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 ha.
And strike until you have victory for every enemy that is aligned against you. Strike and strike and strike and strike and strike. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory.
I ask, oh God, that you would take your iron rod, and I ask that you would smash the clay jar of deceit in America.
And Lord, if it be your will, and if it be necessary, another election, another voting day, whatever it takes under your kingdom, oh God.
Smash the delusion, Father, of Joe Biden as our president. He is not.
The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done.
Bring it all in line. Bring it all in line with the will of God.
Why are you attacking the prophets, the intercessors, the Christians, the positive voices, no matter who they are, even on the media, that are wanting to see Donald Trump reelected? Why are you attacking them?
Could our faith be strong enough to pray for these two individuals that are at the helm of what appears to us to be a great pattern of deceit?
You ought to be attacking the lying media. You ought to be attacking the liars that are wanting to strip our freedoms from this nation.
Certainly of ideology that is anti-Christ, anti-biblical to its core.
And if you think he's speaking in favor of the one that CNN celebrates, if you think he's speaking in alignment with the wicked of this world, if that's where you think God's voice is, then you don't know it.
Let me tell you something. Every Christian, every pastor out there that voted for Joe Biden last night, you have brought a curse upon yourself and your family, your children and your children's children down to the third and fourth generation, and you need to repent.
Hamanda aka ata raka teda paka sanda.
We humble ourselves tonight, Lord God. We ask you in Jesus' name, Father, that you'd forgive us as a people.
They're coming here. They're coming here in the name of Jesus from South America.
Almighty God, please.
From Africa, from South America.
All right, I can't take any more of that. But suffice to say that all the prophets, the evangelicals, the Pentecostals, the charismatic, the word of faith people, they were 100% wrong. Now, do I believe that there was some discrepancy with the election? Was it a stolen election? Highly likely that it was. But if you're intellectually honest, Joe Biden won and Donald Trump lost. And it doesn't matter how Biden won, doesn't matter how Trump lost. I can remember talking with people 2 years ago, and they would call me up on the phone, and they were all excited. This would have been about the middle of February of 2 years ago. And people called me up and not 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. This would have been February of 2021. And do you remember when that QAnon conspiracy theory was going around on March 5th that Donald Trump was going to be, quote, reinstalled as president, end quote? And if you know anything about English or the definitions of words, you can't be reinstalled as something if you were never installed in the first place. Donald Trump's term came to an end and Joe Biden's term began. So just the idea that Donald Trump was going to be reinstalled to something he was never installed in the first place is just, it's just a poor use of English. But I can remember talking with people on the phone and they would get so excited. Can you believe that Donald Trump is going to be reinstalled as president on March 5th? And I turned to these people and I said, that is never going to happen. That is a guarantee that that is not going to take place. And they would say to me, how can you be so sure? How do you know? I says, because what you're talking about doesn't even remotely sound like our American system of government, even on its worst day. That's not how the U.S. system works. And so March 5th, came and went. Donald Trump was not reinstalled as president. And not only that, if you're honest and if you're fair, they did not produce any meaningful evidence that made it into court to bolster their case. So what is the basis for their platform for this Reawaken America? The basis of their platform for Reawaken America is to get you whipped up into an emotional frenzy, not thinking about facts, but getting you all excited. Now, we live in times where there are some legitimate things to get excited about. You could get excited about COVID. You could get excited about the lockdowns. You could get excited about the New World Order. You could get excited about the Green Pass. You could get excited about Emmanuel Macron forcing the citizens of France to take the injection. There were a lot of things that you could legitimately get excited about. But this whole reinstalling Donald Trump, none of that was true. And I said that that wasn't true 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, last year, 6 months ago. But that doesn't seem to slow these people down. So now what they're doing is they're wrapping up, an 18-month tour of America, and they brought their revival tent meetings to 17 different American cities and getting people all whipped up over something that really Christians should have nothing to do with. Now, here in America, tomorrow is the official day for midterms election voting. I recommend that you should go out and vote for whoever you want to vote for. I get that the elections can be corrupt and there can be voter intimidation. They could erase your ballot as soon as they cast it, or anything else that you want to believe to be true about the voting system. But what I'm going to do tomorrow is I'm going to go and cast my vote, and I'm going to cast my vote while I'm thinking about the events of the last 2 years. And I am going to vote accordingly to my beliefs and to my convictions. If you live in America, there are so many places around the world where people do not have representative government on any level. And so the fact that we can go to the voting booth tomorrow and cast a vote, well, that's still a pretty big deal. And I'm going to exercise my constitutional right tomorrow. Kat says, not me, not voting. Kenny B says, exercise your right to vote or lose it. That's both sides of the coin. You do what your heart leads you to do. I'm going to go vote tomorrow, if for no other reason than just simply to aggravate the New World Order. If that's the only thing that my vote is going to accomplish tomorrow, I will be happy with that. I'll take that as a win, and I will consider that to be a great success. So, here we are, and we're living in a day and age where, and I said this in the introduction to the program today, I want to reread this line to you. Charles Spurgeon said that the time will come where instead of the shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have the clowns entertaining the goats. And that's really where we are right now. We are at clowns entertaining the goats. And nobody knows Bible doctrine. Nobody knows what the Bible says. Would you be surprised to learn that when you see all these people talking about how Christians should take back America, have you ever stopped to consider where that comes from? Because it doesn't come from the Bible. If you turn to the book of Esther 2:12, the book of Ether, not Esther, but the book of Ether, in the Book of Mormon, you know what 2:12 says? Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things that we have written. That's from the Book of Mormon. You ever watch that show on Netflix called The Chosen? That's produced by Mormons and Roman Catholics. The Book of Mormon goes on to say that this America shall be a land of liberty. There shall be no king upon it, for it is a choice land, saith God. Wherefore I will have all men that dwell thereon, that they shall worship me. Mormonism teaches that more than 2,000 years before his birth in the flesh, Jesus Christ led a small colony of people from Asia to America. And as they came, he instructed their prophet leaders that whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when they are ripened in iniquity. So, what is the Book of Mormon telling you? That America is the promised land, not Israel, not Jerusalem. It is a Mormon doctrine that America is the land of promise. The Bible says that the land of Canaan, which became the land of Israel, was the land of promise. And this is what Mormons believe. So, at least partially, I'm very, very suspicious of these Christian nationalist people who want me to believe that America is some kind of a land of promise from a biblical perspective. Because the Bible doesn't say anything at all like that. Kenny B just said that patriotic host Glenn Beck is a Mormon. And he absolutely is. Mitt Romney is a Mormon. Mormons serve at the highest levels of Congress and the Senate. If you ever want to have an eye-opening experience, there's this five-part series on Netflix called The Family. And it is about how the evangelical movement took over politics in Washington. It's called The Family. It's about a man named Doug Coe. And it is a really eye-opening miniseries on exactly what the evangelical right has accomplished. Have you ever seen the National Day of Prayer, where everybody from all these different churches and religions and Buddhists and Baha'i and all these different people, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, everybody goes to Washington, D.C., and they steal the promise that God made to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people which be called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and restore their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if somebody could post that, that would be great. There was a question. Kenny is asking, what exactly is an evangelical Christian? Well, from a biblical perspective, we are all supposed to be evangelically inclined. The word evangelical, as in someone who is an evangelist, is a traveling preacher. That's what that is. But the evangelical movement, they were the people that were behind pushing the vaccines and the vaccinations. Let me see if I can find this article now that we're talking about evangelicals. I did an article. Oh, where is it? Where is it? Well, here's one of them. Laodicean Franklin Graham, he's an evangelical. And he got the evangelical movement to receive the sacrament of vaccination, as I called it. And he begged his buddies to line up and receive the injection before it's too late. And if you remember, Franklin Graham had said that if Jesus was alive during a time of vaccinations, that he would have told everybody to go out and get vaccinated. And he said that back in November of 2021. So the evangelicals are, from my perspective, maybe you have a different slant on it, but evangelicals, to me, they are the ones that make up the bulk of the lukewarm Laodicean church. That's who I think the evangelicals are. Those are the guys that are constantly compromising. Those are the people that come out with the NIV and the ESV and all that other junk. So that's what I think evangelicals are. And they treat the ministry like a business. They're really more like Word of Faith charismatics is what they're like. And Mia is pointing out that Franklin Graham had heart problems after receiving the government injection. And he absolutely did. And not just that, if you remember, didn't his daughter or his niece or somebody, she took it and she had to have emergency surgery. He had to have emergency surgery. And there were a whole lot of problems that developed after he pleaded with people to take the government injections. But Franklin Graham, like his father Billy Graham, has been an apologist for the Vatican for a long, long time. And a lot of people don't know that. They'll say, well, look at all the good stuff that he does with Samaritan's Purse. And yeah, that's good stuff. But what does that have to do with what he actually believes about the Bible? I don't see where one really has anything to do with the other. Now, hold on a second here. I got somebody calling me out. I got Joan calling me out. Joan says, I am not really speaking the truth. There are at least two documentaries that were produced that show that the 2020 election was stolen. And the first one that she cites, as she's calling me out, is from Dinesh D'Souza, and it was called 2,000 Mules. Now, forgive me, Joan, I don't recognize your name. You seem to be new in the chat room, and we're very, very glad that you're here. But a couple of months ago, I devoted an entire podcast to Dinesh and his 2,000 Mules. And I'm just looking for the link right now, and I'm going to post that into the chat room. And I invite you to listen to that podcast, because we talked about it for a solid, yeah, here it is. Now, when did I do this program? May 8th of 2022. Now, I don't mind being called out, but it would be better if you were right about what you were calling me out about. We did a whole podcast on 2,000 Mules, but that's not what I was talking about a few minutes ago. What I was saying, that they were never able to produce evidence that made it into a court of law. Look, I'm glad and I'm grateful if anybody wants to make a documentary about any of the shenanigans that are happening in this crazy, wacky time that we live in. But making a documentary is not the same thing as producing evidence that can be taken into a courtroom. You can make all the documentaries that you want to make, but if you have evidence, Joan is saying, we have four false courts of laws. Don't I know that? You really must be new. So I'm going to thank you for your comment, and I'm going to move on, because if you spend a little bit of time here, then you'll get what we're all about. But thank you for commenting. I certainly do appreciate that. I was very, very happy to have a whole program devoted to the 2,000 Mules documentary. And it got me a little bit excited. But you got to be able to get your evidence into a court of law. You can't just say something. You have to be able to prove it. And now you might say to me, well, the courts are corrupt and everything is corrupt. And well, that's just the world that we live in. If you have the proof, you'll find a way to get it into court. Now, that's a nice segue to my next topic. Donald Trump made a lot of claims about election fraud. he was not able to prove any of those claims. Now, if that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. There is not one Republican that was able to produce enough evidence that could be taken into a court of law to be decided on. Now, do we have a corrupt system? We absolutely do. But here's a fun fact. LGBTQ female basketball player, Brittany Grenier, she used to rant and rave about how corrupt America is. And I agree, America is very corrupt. And she used to talk about living in a fascist state. So you know what she did? She got on a plane and she went to Russia because she wanted to go to where freedom is. You know where Brittany Grenier, however you pronounce her last name? She's in a Russian jail right now for the next 9 years because she couldn't stand to be in corrupt fascist America. So she got on a plane and she went to Russia and they put her in jail. Now she knows what it's really like to live in a fascist state. Now, I understand that we live in a day and age where America is rapidly crumbling. But last time that I checked, I was able to do a 2-hour Bible study last night. I was able to do a 2-hour Sunday service yesterday. I'm able to do a 90-minute podcast right now. And the police aren't knocking down our door. The U.S. Cyber Command has listed us as an extremist website. But nobody is turning us off. Nobody is shutting us down. So you have to temper what you say with reality. So if you're going to make a claim about a stolen election, and again, I have said it multiple times, I'll say it again. I believe that the election was stolen. But am I able to prove that? No, I am not. Was Donald Trump able to prove that? No, he was not. Was Sidney Powell or Roger Stone or Rudy Giuliani? Were any of those people able to prove that the election was stolen? No, they weren't. They didn't even get to take it into court. So this conversation that we're having right now with this thing that Joan brought up in the chat room, I'm really kind of glad that it's happening, because you know what that shows you? That shows you how your emotions can get tweaked and your emotions can get ahead of you and run away with your logic and your reason. And you've got to be very, very, very careful about that. Now, I'm voting tomorrow. It's no secret. I'm a Republican. The first person that I ever voted for in November of 1980 was Ronald Reagan. And I really enjoyed casting my vote for Ronald Reagan. And for the last 42 years, I have been a Republican. And tomorrow I'm going to go into the voting booth and I'm just going to vote for everybody with an R next to their name. I don't care what their policies are. I don't care what they stand for. I don't care. I haven't even listened to a single campaign promise. But tomorrow I'm going to get into a voting booth and I'm going to vote 100% Republican across the board. Now, am I going to lose even 1 minute's worth of sleep wondering if my vote counts? Is my vote going to be erased? I don't care. I really don't care. All I know is I have the ability to vote, and I'm going to go and exercise that ability tomorrow, and I'm going to leave the results in God's hand. And we'll be right back after this.
Are as wide as the world.
If you are a man or woman who serves or has served, past, present, or future member of the United States military, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for keeping us safe on a daily basis. At Now the End Begins, we love the military. And you know what? We love America. And that's why we're doing this program today, because I don't want you guys to get sucked into some phony idea of an America that doesn't really exist. And I don't want anybody stealing your Bible from you. If you're a Bible believer, if you stand on the King James Bible, that is the basis. That is your foundation. Don't get sucked into these QAnon movements where they try to get you all hyped up on feelings and emotions. Look, there's enough real conspiracy theory floating around that you should be concerned about, and we talk about that on these programs all the time. There is enough real, legitimate New World Order stuff that you should be concerned about, and we warn you about those things. But don't go down some silly rabbit hole. Let me tell you something. Nobody is going to make America great again. Because you... Oh, that's what I was going to do before I got sidetracked. I remember now. I was going to read to you that line, and I got as far as quoting Spurgeon, and I never got to what I wanted to talk about. At the start of the broadcast today, when I was reading the introduction, as I do on every program, I said this: you are watching revival without repentance, preaching without sound doctrine, and a call to arms without confession of sin. Have you ever heard of somebody by the name of Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday was the last true revivalist evangelist that stood on the Word of God and never got off the Word of God like Billy Graham did. Billy Sunday was the last real revivalist that this country has ever seen. And God used him, just like he used Moody, to stir this country in a very profound and meaningful way. But when Billy Sunday would come into town and he would bring his tent meetings with his sawdust trail, when he was done preaching, liquor stores would not simply be closed down. Liquor stores would be out of business. Not because an angry mob demanded that they be shut down, but because when Billy Sunday came to town and he preached, the liquor store owners got saved and they voluntarily shut down their own businesses, or enough of the people in the town got saved and the liquor store lost their customers and they had to go out of business. You know what that is? That's what real revival looks like. That's what a real movement of God looks like. Revival doesn't happen because somebody puts up a sign and says, revival meeting next Wednesday. You don't know if it's going to be a revival. That's only something that the Holy Spirit can do. But when you look at the effects of Billy Sunday's preaching, there was nationwide repentance. There was a nationwide awareness that as a people, we have gotten off the track. But that's not what we see in 2022. In 2022, what we see revivals, but we don't see any repentance. There's a lot of people preaching a whole lot of stuff, but they're not preaching any sound doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul, talking about the last days, we could certainly conceivably say that's the days that we find ourselves in now. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is the time period that we find ourselves in now. And what do we see? We see people, we see Christians. We see church after church after church across America. And I'm not simply talking about the Methodists or the Anglicans or the Presbyterians. I'm talking about the Baptist churches. Do you realize that the last Baptist church that I was a member of, and I sat there for 3 years, and I didn't hear one sermon on rightly dividing? I didn't hear one sermon on the second coming. I didn't hear one sermon on the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Why not? Because churches don't preach those things anymore. And I can remember back in 2020 and 2021, I can remember listening to pastors. I'm not talking Roman Catholic priests. I'm not talking about Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm talking about independent, fundamental, King James only Baptist pastors who stood up in the pulpit and repeated QAnon talking points from the pulpit. This is the state of America in 2020. So, if you're going to be a Bible believer, you got to understand how the game is being played. And you got to understand, look, if Donald Trump is the Republican candidate for president in 2 years, I really can't think of any reason why I would not vote for him for a third time. But I am not about to let what I believe to be true about the Bible get sucked into some QAnon conspiracy cesspool where in 6 months' time I'm so mixed up that I have no idea what I believe anymore. You got to stick with that old book, with the old ways, and with the old paths. You know, 31 years ago, I jumped on the King James only bandwagon. The only thing was, though, I didn't know that there was a King James only movement. I didn't know that anybody even had a debate or a controversy or even had a problem with Bible versions when I got saved. I had no idea that any of that existed. I got saved in 1991. And I didn't even hear the name of Peter Ruckman till 1993. And I didn't know anything about dispensational truth and Clarence Larkin and all that good stuff. I had no idea. But I've been King James only from day one. And I believe that's one of the main reasons why 31 years later, I still believe what I believed. And it makes me cry. It brings actual tears to my eyes when I open up an email and the email starts, "I used to believe like you believe, but let me tell you, dot, dot, dot." I get a lot of those emails. I used to be King James only. I used to think that the pre-tribulation rapture was true. There was a day when I believed in eternal security. I have a stack of those emails. And those are always the saddest ones that I get when I see people fall away from what the truth is. And we live in a day and age where truth is absolutely fallen in the streets. And if you don't have absolute truth, you're never going to figure it out. Take a listen to this.
During 2021, we should be able to manufacture a lot of vaccines. And that vaccine, a key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
We can kind of almost see the end. We're vaccinating so very fast. Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
Essentially, vaccines block you from getting and giving the virus.
Fully vaccinated people are at a very, very low risk of getting COVID-19. Therefore, if you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
We have all the vaccines we need. We just need our people to take it. A, for their own protection, for the protection of their family, but also to break the chain of transmission. You want to be a dead end to the virus. So when the virus gets to you, you stop it. You don't allow it to use you as the stepping stone to the next person. I think given the country as a whole, the fact that we have now about 50% of adults fully vaccinated and about 62% of adults having received at least one dose as a nation, I feel fairly certain you're not going to see the kind of surges we've seen in the past.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized. You're not going to be in an ICU unit. And you're not going to die. You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
So now we know how that turned out to be not true. The vaccine didn't stop anybody from actually catching COVID. The vaccine didn't even stop anybody from dying of COVID. Just as many people die from COVID who were vaccinated as die from COVID who are unvaccinated. So I understand that we live in a day and time where it's really, really hard to know what to believe. And this is why we do programs like this. This is why we have a bookstore. Would it surprise you to learn that we don't run the bookstore primarily as a business? We run the bookstore primarily as a ministry. It's a ministry first, and it is a business second. And if you haven't been to the bookstore lately, you really need to go and check it out. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of amazing books and DVDs and CDs for the Bible believer, for the King James Bible believer. And you can go to BibleBeliever.com and you can check it out. And the bookstore is really, really an amazing place. And we have so many commentaries and books and things that will dramatically increase your faith in the King James Bible, in God's preserved word. And so we invite you to go to BibleBeliever.com and check it out and get yourself some books that will really help your faith, that will advance your faith in the Bible. And you can go to BibleBeliever.com and check it out. This week, we have launched in preparation for Knights of Lights, we have launched a campaign with a billboard and advertising at the local diner. And it's called the Metro Diner, and it's really, really popular. And if you go there on a weekend, sometimes you'll wait for 45 minutes to get a table. And we have launched a billboard and advertising campaign here in St. Augustine that I want you to pray about, that God would really, really bless. And it is advertising that is centered around John 3:16, and it says that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And we have launched these things just in time for Nights of Lights. And the billboard matches the ad in the diner. And I'm just so excited. So please put that on your prayer list. Please put that. Please pray about the hundreds of thousands of people that are going to be looking at this billboard, the tens of thousands of people who will be going to the diner, because this ad is going to run all of November, all of December. And this is all part of the gospel outreach program that we have, where we're evangelizing America's oldest city. And you can look right in the upper left-hand corner of that ad. It says, St. Augustine's only Christian bookstore. And that makes some people mad. I had somebody say to me a couple of weeks ago, but isn't there a Catholic bookstore? I says, there absolutely is. And it took them a minute for it to dawn on them. It's like, oh, I see what you mean. So please pray that God would bless our billboard outreach and that God would bless the ad that we have running at the Metro Diner. And it's going to reach so many people, and I'm just praying that it's going to have a harvest for the Lord. I had a brother contact me just last week, and he wants to partner with us and put up some billboards, not so much in St. Augustine, but in other parts of Florida. And we're going to start designing some new billboards that are going up, and so we have some fresh interest in the billboard campaign. But if you're looking for a place to get involved, if you're looking for a really good way to invest your money that will give you a beautiful return at the judgment seat of Christ, I invite you to join with us and partner with us in our gospel witness billboard program, our free Bible program, our Bibles Behind Bars program. The fact that we're doing these things that God has called us to do, and we're able to do these things because you guys pray for us and you guys donate money. That's the only way that we're able to do these things. But we're doing them at a very, very, very high level right now. So thank you to everybody who prays for us. Lori Ann is going to post a link into the chat room where if God puts on your heart to donate, we really, really could use your support because we want to do more. Do you realize that we are less than 10,000 Bibles from 100,000 Bibles for this year? Do you realize that? We are less than 10,000 Bibles from 100,000 Bibles, New Testaments, and scripture portions that we have handed out in 2022. Remember back in the early days of this year, could we make it to 30,000 Bibles? Isn't that funny? And then, could we make it to 50,000 Bibles? And now we have less than 10,000 Bibles to go. We need to raise about $25,000. That's how much it costs. But we need to raise about another $25,000, and we will hit 100,000 Bibles that we have handed out for this year. And remember, our New Year's Eve program, we are going to launch the Fourth Quarter Christian free Bible program, where we're going to take the 111,000 Bibles that we've handed out in 2021 and 2022, and we're going to attempt to reach one, I'm saying 1 million, and Little Toe is saying 3 million Bibles. Well, but this is how those things get done. This is how those things get done. They get done exactly like that. Trisha said to me multiple times that we have to, you know, dare big things for God. And I said, yeah, but 100,000 Bibles. Well, as it turns out, we were able to do. We are so close to 100,000 Bibles. So we are going to continue to dare big things for God. And we're going to believe that He has brought all of us together for such a time and such a place as this, to get something done for His name. And I'm just looking at this news article that just came across my desk. I don't really like this story. Subtropical storm eyes Florida and the Bahamas. Subtropical storm Nicole is now expected to become a hurricane before hitting Florida's east coast on Wednesday. Man, I don't like that. Heavenly Father, we just come before You and we pray, Lord, that if it be possible, You blow this storm out to sea and just let it go nowhere. let it not hit anybody. And we just pray, Lord, that You'll just take the steam out of Tropical Storm Nicole and spare Florida, spare the Bahamas, spare whoever might be in the path of this storm, God. And Lord, we got to get ready for Nights of Lights. We don't have time for another hurricane. And so we're just going to believe and we're going to ask You, Lord, if it be Your will, to blow this storm out to sea and let it just go nowhere. And we ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, there you have it. Tomorrow, if you live in America, tomorrow is Election Day. I've already told you I'm going to be there, Lord willing. I'm going to be casting my vote for every single Republican who's running. I don't care what their platform is. I don't care what their campaign promises are. I haven't even listened to their campaign promises. But I'm going to vote complete Republican tomorrow just because it's my constitutional right. And if the New World Order doesn't like that, well, they can just go erase my vote, but I'm going to cast it anyway. I thank you so much for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. The war is real and the battle is hot. Time is almost gone. To the fight!
The singers are tired. The church, as we know it, is losing its fire. And some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on. 'Cause it's just one more soul. Singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. 'Cause if just one more soul